All right, one more Europe one.
One more
travel one. So last week we were in Oslo. I had to stop thinking about
Norway.
We were in Norway, and we did this update from the training room. I think we did it on Thursday, didn't we? Because then we had the conference day on Friday, and we did NDC security in Oslo on Friday. Came to London on Saturday with you, me, and my 9-year-old son as well, which was fun. And what did we actually do on Sunday? We went and had high tea, actually, didn't we?
That was Sunday, yeah.
We were very civilized. We went and had high tea at Harrods. That was,
they let you in.
Yeah, they let me in. I just had to dumb the accent down a little bit. So that was fun. And then we did workshop Monday, Tuesday, which was, last week we spoke what the workshops were. So you did World's Best TLS training. I did Hack Yourself First. That was good. Then yesterday we had a few talks on, and yesterday I did the talk with my son Ari, who's 9, about teaching kids to code. So I did the lightning talk, which was really cool. Like
it was good. He was like, "This on the lectern."
Yeah, like he couldn't quite say a lectern, but that was cool. Like it was cool seeing him do it. But and I sort of had a different view from you because you were sitting at the front looking at him, but I was looking at all the people in the audience, and I only just sort of really thought about this now, but everyone was kind of like beaming and lighting up because they're happy to see like a kid doing this stuff. And at the start of the talk, I said, look, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this is that every time I share anything online about kids coding, everyone's just like super, super happy and excited. And just, I actually find myself sometimes when there's sort of Twitter debates or, some of the crap that goes on there. So I'm just going to go and get a shot of the kids coding. And suddenly the whole mood just
everyone's lives. Happy now.
So your son's 5, so he's probably just about to
just get his own little cheap laptop to start doing, code.org or Scratch or something like that on, but yeah.
And there's a heap out there. So Ari showed code.org, and we sort of said, look, this is good for kids who are beginning beginning to read as well. So my daughter's 6, and she's just starting to read, but even before that she could use code.org to do things like create procedures using the arrow. So it's like, hey, you've got, she likes, what's Elsa?
The Frozen one.
Oh, shit. I've been trying to purge it. So she likes Frozen, so she wants to get Elsa to sort of move through the maze and get the snowflake, whatever Elsa does. So she knows how to use the arrows. And then, and one of the cool things about code.org as well, she likes Elsa, my son likes Minecraft, there's Star Wars stuff in there. It's like, whatever your kid likes, there's something in there which sort of, resonates with them. Like, this is the thing that they know and like in everyday life. And then they can take that into their coding. And then Ari showed Code Combat, which is pretty cool because Code Combat is now sort of going object-orientated. You've got JavaScript you can write this with. You've got Python. It helps sort of IntelliSense and autocomplete. But when he did the demo yesterday, he was sort of showing, look, this is, this is a variable, this is a method, this is an argument. And the point I was trying to make to people is like, look, he's learning these terms which we live with every day as coders because it's a developer audience, but you get to learn them as a child. And I don't think he fully understands the constructs yet, but great way to start.
Hide the learning in something fun, right?
Hide the learning in play, yeah. And then the last thing we did is he's now building a website which looks basically like most websites of the mid-90s. It's I don't want to be hard on the guy, but it's not like aesthetically slick.
Is it responsive?
It's not a responsive. Well, actually, it would be responsive because it's basically just like P tags and ordered lists and list items and some iframes of fixed size. So there might be some problems there. And I have started him with a little bit of CSS as well. But he's been doing one on the superheroes he likes. Mm. So, he's into Marvel and Deadpool and things like this at the moment. So he's like, okay, create a page with my superheroes. And then we said, okay, we're going to refactor that and take out, we're going to take out Juggernaut, who, as he reminded me, is not a superhero, he's a villain. Take Juggernaut out, put Juggernaut on his own page, and then everyone has their own page and he gets to, do hyperlinks and things like that. So that was cool. Now, you're talking tomorrow. Do you want to just recap briefly, because you did this talk and I was on Friday too for the first time.
Yeah, so it was the first time ever, brand new talk called Crash Burn Report, and it's all about the new reporting API in the browsers. So new features that we launched kind of September time. So Report Your Eye launched our support the day that Chrome launched, which is the first browser to drop support. So we kind of launched in the same time as them. And basically, you can get a whole new stack of information from the browser on things like interventions. So if the browser's on a slow network, it might say, hey, like, you know, we dropped these assets or the fonts because it's taking too long. We wanted to render the page. Deprecations, really good one. I gave the example of the geolocation API being deprecated on HTTP. So if you had like a store locator or a find my thing, and you had a HTTP website, it just stopped working one day. So now the browser will send a report to say, hey, you're using a feature right now that in 3 months' time will no longer work.
So your example is good, because I think a lot of people didn't realize that the geolocation API was being dropped for non-secure requests because, you know, privacy sort of thing.
Yep.
And there'd be a lot of people who might have been using that in their sites and not aware that it was going to be deprecated. And that those deprecation reports aren't like, hey, it's just broken, it no longer works. It's like, hey, if you don't fix this in the future, it will break.
That's what I really like. So deprecation is pretty much the only one that does that. All the others are like a reactive thing, whereas the deprecation reports are very proactive.
Yeah.
So you'll get a report before something has gone wrong.
And of course, the relevance for us as well is that report URI logs all this stuff, as you mentioned.
So we support those.
And it's, you know, in fairness, I didn't think you did a report URI pitch, which is good.
We try not to
about those things.
It's really hard though, right? Like, because obviously it's what I do, but at the same time, I do it because I like it, which is why I talk about it. So it's a very fine balance of talking about the reporting API and the benefits and not of our service.
And how'd your feedback go? What are your scores?
100% greens. Did you get 100% greens on your... I don't think you got 100% greens on your talk, did you? No? I can't remember. Maybe we'll check.
I forget. So I did my talk in Oslo last week, and I did the one yesterday as well. So in answer to Scott's question, I didn't get 100% green. I got a 199 green cards. That was last week.
I'm past that. Okay.
I had a better ratio because I think I can't remember what it was exactly in Oslo, but I had like 5 yellow cards or something. But yesterday, I almost got a perfect 199.
One yellow. You need to find that person and ask them what you did.
So, and you know, it's funny. We were talking about this morning because you're never quite sure of the context, right? And the premise is that when you walk out the door of an NDC talk as an attendee, there's a pile of red cards, yellow cards, green cards, and it's like, I didn't like this, so I was neutral, or I loved it. And you chuck them in the box, and then you get your score at the end of the day. So as speakers, you sort of know what resonates. And as organizers, they know which speakers are sort of, you know, obviously doing good talks. So,
yeah.
But the problem is that you have no context. So yeah, I've certainly occasionally had red cards as well, and it's like, what did I do wrong? I thought it was a good talk. But the problem is, and I think back, for example, the Hack Your Career talk, which you've seen, which is like the soft skills talk I've done. There's loads of people that have gone away. I hope have gone away inspired. Certainly people have given me that feedback. But I also show things in there that are related to some of the abuse I've had. And some of it is like really, really, you know, graphic. And I contextualize and I say, look, this is why I'm showing it, because it's an important part of being online, is why I've had to deal with it.
Unfortunately.
But it did have some words you don't see that often in developer
in a conference
conferences.
Talk.
So I can see how that would sort of trigger someone to go, nah, look, like regardless of the rest of it, he used that word. And it wasn't me either. It was just me showing someone else's feedback to me. You know, get a red card. But anyway, look, frankly, you get a pretty good sense while you're doing the talk anyway, don't you? And then the cards, whether they're 100% green or 95% green or something, I don't think really matters. It's like...
It's like you're up at the good end of the spectrum.
Exactly. So you've got to do your talk at London tomorrow. So we've got to see how you get tomorrow. So hopefully you can just go for like 2 for 2 on this talk and we'll see.
Home turf.
Now, I actually had some notes here and I was going to get you to comment on this. Speaking of home turf and the joy that is England, we've both gotten into a lot of trouble this week for various things. Now, I think you got in trouble first. Would you like to explain what you did to get in so much trouble? What was your crime?
Gosh. So this was, the first one was pizza, because that was the night that we got here.
It was.
So we arrived, we had a day of travel, you know, dropped the bags, and it's like, we don't want to go out and find a hotel. It's like, let's just order a pizza and the food shall come to us.
Seems reasonable.
So what
went wrong?
So I sat in the room, got in your room with like a couch and a suite area. And it's like, phone rings. It's like, okay, hi, Mr. Hunt. And like, thought I was you, but it's like, hi, Mr. Hunt, your pizza delivery's here. I'm like, fantastic, great. Like, yeah, you know, like, bring it on up. Oh, no, sorry. The pizza delivery guy can't go up to the room.
Now, to be clear, this was not a technical constraint because there's no key card access required.
No, yeah, so like you come in, you can go straight into the lobby, straight into the lift, straight up to the rooms. Like there's no, you know, there's no thing. But I've been in hotels where that's been the case, and then the concierge is just really nice and brings it up, like,
right.
Or just gives them a temporary card. But then, so anyway, this guy's like, the pizza delivery guy can't come upstairs. And I was like, oh, kind of like a little bit jet-lagged. And I was like, why? Like, what?
What's wrong with
him?
Afraid of elevators?
You know when you're just like a little bit tired and you're like, but why?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And they were like, oh, it's like health and safety regulations prevent the delivery driver from delivering to the room because it's too dangerous.
Well, I mean, we were up quite a number of floors.
Well, you did ninth story, you know, but the lift goes the whole way, so he wasn't going to have to use the stairs. And I kind of like reiterated it out loud, so everyone heard me, and I was like, because it's too dangerous, like, just as much for my own confirmation that that's what they'd said. And he was like, yep, you know, I'm really sorry, like, you're gonna have to come down and collect it from the concierge desk. And I was like, okay, well but then how do I get the pizza to the room?
Well, you'd have to take some dangerous risk.
It's like, but isn't this what we pay the delivery for? And I was just like, so we're in this situation where this person can't come up the lift with the pizza, but I can go down and come up the lift with the pizza. And I was just like, you know what, I'm really, really tired. I don't want to have this argument.
This was just the beginning, right? And in fairness, a very nice hotel too. The next morning, we both got into trouble because we both had this like a irrational high-risk idea of we'll go to the restaurant, have breakfast, and then because we had to go back to the room and do some work, we will take a coffee from
the restaurant. Mine was orange juice.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Cranberry.
Okay. This is not even like a hot beverage thing. And we both got accosted. Now, we went out separately as well, and we only compared notes, right? Like, I had to go back to the room. Both got accosted, said you can't take a drink out. Health and safety. Now, I've, like you have been to a lot of hotels, and I've taken a lot of coffees out of restaurants. Some people wave, and then I smile and everything. And it's like I wasn't taking it across the road into another hotel, right? It's like I'm going up to my room.
Stealing the cup.
So I was there with my son, and I didn't want to make too much of a scene. So we had a small argument, and and I left it. You, as I understand, just legged it with the cranberry juice.
Well, I mean, that wasn't my immediate action, right? Like, you know, I'm walking out and kind of like on my phone, got my glass, doing, you know, emailing or whatever it was, and you know, you hear like an excuse me sir, and I was like, oh well, you know, that might not be for me, so I'll just keep going and hopefully everything will be okay. And then like the excuse me sirs afterwards got louder as the lady was walking behind me.
You had escalation.
So I got to like the end of the little corridor where the food bit is, and I was like, oh hey, sorry, you know, like, could have been for anybody, didn't know it was for me. She's like, I'm really sorry, you can't take that out. And I was like, oh, the what, like the drink? Yeah. She's like, you know, health and safety means that you can't. Ooh, what is this? Are they listening?
Do you want to take
back
it?
In 1 minute? Yeah, let's see what it is.
You take it, let's pause it, and then we'll recontinue it. That was health and safety. We're sat too close to the window. Someone's made a complaint.
They were listening in and called us to tell us to stop talking about them.
I mean, this was just sort of part of a series of things too, because then I got into trouble again because we're at the training center, and there's like a kitchen area where they serve all the food and everything, and I'm sitting on a bench, you know, like a bench where you'd serve food.
Well, the Australians which for me come over here and break our rules.
Basically butt height anyway. And then I got in trouble for that because health and stuff. And it's, so we were lamenting, and I know we've just gone way off topic from cyber as well, but we were sort of lamenting that we just came from Oslo, where we'd just been like hurtling down this mountain on these sledges with like no barriers and your bodies and things flying.
Little
go
flimsy
there,
helmet, like, you know, no gloves.
And we were commenting at the time, there's no way in the world you could do that, particularly in the UK, probably not in Australia either.
No.
And then we come here, and it's like, you know, you can't take your cup upstairs. Like, dude, I've just been hurtling down a mountain on a sledge. You know, like, I've got this.
But the thing is, okay, it's like there's like glasses and cups right over there. So it's like you're allowed them here and you're allowed them there, but it's like,
shit, we're in trouble again.
Let's just do it again.
We're not starting it all again.
They are trying to be nice, though, to be fair to them. They just keep interrupting us.
So that was Scott's Laundry, totally different topic. No, honestly, we're professionals. So, you know, moving on, and I appreciate it, said we're not doing much cybering, but this is something that's a little bit tangential, and you and I were just out today. This is Thursday, our time. We went out for lunch for a walk, and was sort of saying, and I wonder if this resonates with people as well, we're finding it very hard to sort of tune out of things at the moment. You know, you get such a bombardment of emails and messages and people wanting to take slices of your time. And you know, when there's enough people and asking enough things, it becomes really, really hard. I've found the last 2 weeks really, really hard because Have I Been Paying got so much traction. We were just dealing with some Report URI stuff then, which is, you know, some of it's just a name, but it's almost like the cost of doing business, right? Like as customers and things ramp up, you've got more and more slices of time. And I don't know that we have good answers for this, but it's just like really, really hard just to switch off, isn't it?
Because you just end up filling like all of the gaps that you have anyway, right? It's like I get up in the morning, it's half an hour until I go to breakfast, I find myself at the desk whipping open some emails, like at breakfast, you know, walking today between, it's like walking from one thing to the other thing, and it's like, oh, I'll do some, you know, catch up on social, send some emails on the way. So you end up then just having literally like, you know, like a pretty full on day from meeting people in the breakfast hall right through to the social events in the evening is kind of, like 12 plus hours of, you're always doing something.
And we got to be fair too, because I mean, things like the social event, we went on the cruise last night and met a lot of people, and it's all very nice, but and to be fair, like I wouldn't change it, you know, it's nice meeting all the people.
No, yeah, totally.
They want to come and say hi, and you know, we're doing selfies and pictures and things like that, and like that's super, super cool. But we kind of got to the end of that, and we all just went, yeah, I'm just going to go and watch TV.
I'm so finished. Like, you know,
took a bottle of wine to the room. We're like, let's just turn on something mindless. Like,
dim the lights. No noise. Yeah. No talking, and just like cast away my mind to whatever's on the TV. And you don't want to complain about nice things, right? And I'm very conscious that that's, you know, there's like there is a little bit of that. It's like, it was a boat cruise and it was great, and I'm like, and it really is. It's just, it's so draining. I think like being drained.
You're right, and I get this. Like, I don't want to sort of sit here and go, hey, Scott and I are on the other side of the world having loads of fun and we're complaining about how hard it is. It's I think there is a really serious note here, and sometimes I sort of think about people that you do perceive in the public eye that are very successful, like movie stars or things like this, and then they turn out to have like serious mental health issues and things, and I just wonder how much of it is like just never being able to like turn off,
to get away from it
and get a break. And of course it is in our own control, right? Like we can just sort of go, no, I don't want to do this anymore, but it's really hard once you're into that rhythm.
Well, it's like, it's just, it's more than, it's like your career, right? Like your job, that would be like, oh, I just need to drop this and go retraining something else kind of thing, right?
I think I almost wonder if, you know, like our personalities predispose us to doing what we're doing because we're happy to go and be independent and just drive hard to make things like Report Your Own, Have I Been Paying, everything work. But with that comes the baggage of never being able to sort of totally tune out. And we're sort of reflecting that the snowboarding we went and did in Trissel in Norway was kind of like one of the very, very few times we've done that. And it was kind of like literally go to a freaking cabin in the woods, you know? And it had to get to that environment before we felt like turning stuff off. But and you sort of made the point, look, you know, sometimes your wife will go, look, let's go on a flight on a holiday or something like that. And I'm like, well, frankly, if I get on an airplane and go on a holiday to somewhere in a hotel, it's basically like business as usual, you know? And I think that time out, even just sort of being away from family and normal routine, was what we needed to just kind of put everything away, which is, people have good answers about, honestly, how to manage the, like, the mental drain on this, I'd love to hear it. And I really think I've got to make some...
How to break, like, that compulsion of... Like, you know, there's a kind of like a technical dependency. I'm sure it's like the same with you and Have I Been Pwned Me with Report Your Eyes. Like, I run this thing, super small team, 1-3 people. You know, so you are kind of ultimately responsible. Yeah. I feel like I'm on call 24/7.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to...
If something goes wrong, it's like, you're the guy.
I need to get my laptop out whilst I'm at the conference and you know, fix some things. And I kind of get that aspect of it, right? And maybe that will change with time and growth of the company. But, like, how, you know... that constant, like, I need to keep checking it. I need to, you know, like, got to keep the cogs turning, got to keep the emails flowing.
We even had that discussion today. You sort of said, oh, but if, you know, if it gets bigger and you have more people and there's more people that can do it, there'll be less pressure on you. I reckon...
Hello.
Health and safety again. I reckon if anything, it might even go the other way, where it's like as something gets bigger and more successful, you feel like you have a greater responsibility, or there's more people wanting more of your time. You know, I don't know.
That's terrifying, because then that means there's no way out.
Well, but I guess the out, and this is, is something which may happen to either of these projects we're working on, is that there's possibly an exit strategy at some point where someone comes along and says, hey, this is an awesome service, we'd like to take it on board, and you eventually, you know, if not bow out completely, then at least reduce your
dependency. More like normal employee levels.
I don't know. But we're, I think it's because of both of us having been doing this for years now, and obviously having success with it, which was awesome, but just starting to realise like the mental toll.
Yeah.
For want of a better term. Anyway, so that said, last thing before I wrap up, I've got Verona sponsoring my blog this week. They've got a video in here around Verona's DFIR team investigating a cyber attack using our data-centric security stack. So Verona, so as I mentioned earlier on, they're sponsoring probably about half for the next 6 months, and Twilio with Authia doing the other half. So I've sort of gone for that balance sponsorship-wise for the first 6 months this year. And I'm really happy with that because it's, yeah, Verona is a company I've actually done a bunch of courses and things for before, and they actually do really good stuff, and it's a company I know quite well. So I'm pretty happy for those guys. So that's it. You're heading off overseas on Saturday. You've got somewhere else to go.
Uh-huh.
I'm heading back home to Australia tomorrow, Friday my time, so I'll be back home on Sunday morning.
Gosh, that's tomorrow already, isn't it?
Yeah, and I just realised I'm going to be home for about a week and a half, and then I've got Microsoft Ignite in Sydney, so I'll be back in Sydney. And then I've got training in Sydney the week after, so I'll be back in Sydney again, and we've just been freaking talking about trying to reduce the amount of
work. Aren't you coming back over in May as well?
To be confirmed.
TBC.
TBC. I'm definitely going to be back in Oslo in June, though, because I would not miss NDC Oslo in June.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, hey, thanks for watching. Sorry about all the interruptions there. Hopefully that there was some useful stuff in there. I know it was a little bit different to usual, and it will be back to more business as usual next week. See you later.
See you.